I heard someone ask a question one time. They said, do you really think that today is the day that the Lord will return? Do you really? We've already thought through what we're going to be planning this afternoon. After this service, we plan to grab a bite to eat. Tomorrow, go to work. Do you really think that today's the last day? Everything you're working for, everything you're saving for, everything you're planning for, what's going to matter in that day? It's going to be a day just like today that the Lord will return. In a day that you think not. Now, I really don't think today's it. It's going to be a day just like today. And in that day, as we just looked, His servants will then serve Him. God's people, you that believe, are doing exactly right now, in part. We know in part, we see in part, but right now you're doing in part what we will forever do then. Because you do see, you do behold something of the miracle of His grace, mercy. And you do worship. They that worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Those that God's taught the gospel of Christ, the gospel of God's grace, they worship, they lift the hand of Him who is worthy of honor. So they look and they worship and they dwell. They dwell. God's people, as I said last week or week four or something like that, God's people, they govern everything else around the worship of God. Everything is governed around God's worship. Everything. The religionist governs the worship of God around everything else he's got to do. Not God's people. They govern everything else around worship. In that day, we'll serve Him perfectly, what we do now in part. But that new heart that a believer possesses, new mind, is not going to change. The body of sin is just going to be put off. And in that day, that which remains is that which God Almighty has created in Christ Jesus. Well, in verse 4, and when it says in that last part of verse 3, it's, and His servants shall serve Him, it then goes right into verse 4 and says, and they shall see His face, and His name shall be in their forehead. That's what I've entitled this. They shall see His face. John had just been told something about service. They'll serve Him. That is a perpetual state of worship that we're just not able to comprehend. What's it going to be like? The closest thing that I have to telling you what it shall be like. I've got the account of an eyewitness that was in the third heaven. Paul the Apostle said there was such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know. But he was carried up. He was brought forth to the third heaven, the very place in God's presence. And he said he saw and heard things that are unspeakable. He saw some things. God taught him some things. But he said it's not lawful, not right, not able to say. Well, we get this little impression of what it should be like. And we just don't. We just don't know. We're tormented with this present state of this vile body of sin. As I said a while ago, the very thoughts of eternal worship escapes us. You know what it does? It just starts to almost let you enter into what Paul said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, this body that keeps me, this body that wars against me, this body that just has that turmoil to it. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall separate me from the body of this death?" God's people, they despise that body of death that they're tied to. They despise it. That's what Jeremiah says, "I loathe myself." But the Scripture reveals clearly that we're going to worship by everlasting state, and we shall see His face. The thought here is that God is not going to be hidden from us. We know and are convinced right now. How many here, don't raise your hands, I just answer to yourself. How many of you are absolutely convinced that where two or three are gathered together in His name, He's in the midst? You believe that? He said He was. But you see, the body of this death, I'm veiled. I just don't see. By faith I see Him. By faith I know. His face in that day to His people, in mercy, in grace, in compassion, not going to be hidden. They're going to see His face. If God hides Himself, no man can see. If God has hidden Himself from a man, from a woman, they don't see. They don't know. They don't love. They don't understand. Job said in Job 34:29, "When He giveth quietness," that is, quietness to the soul, to be able to rest, to be able to settle down. "When He giveth quietness, who can make trouble?" You know, I tell you, you try as hard as you can to try to disrupt a believer's confidence in the person of their Savior, and you're not going to do it. You're not going to change them. There's accounts in this Scripture and accounts in history books where believers, rather than recant what they set forth, they believe, they died a stake. Paul said they were sawn asunder, boiled in oil. If He giveth quietness, who can make trouble? And when He hideth His face, who can behold Him? Whether it be done against a nation or against a man only. If Almighty God hides Himself, who can see Him? But if He reveals Himself, who cannot see Him? Who can but see Him? Let me say it like that. David said in Psalm 51:9, "Hide Thy face from my sins. Don't look upon them, Lord, and impute them to me. But blot out all mine iniquities." That's the request of a believer. That's a request of someone who has seen something of his guilt. But if Almighty God doesn't hide His face from my sins in judgment, in the person of my substitute, He who was made sin. If He doesn't hide His face from my sins in a substitute, He must hide Himself forever from me in mercy. He must. He's a just God. Almighty God is a just God. He doesn't just forgive. Someone says, "Well, God just going to just forgive, just kind of overlook sin." Scripture never bears that out. Never. 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 He's a just God. God's people are absolutely favored and blessed to do in that day perfectly what man is unable to do in this fallen nature. That is, see His face in mercy. God told Moses in Exodus 33:20, and He said, "Thou canst not see My face, for there shall no man see Me and live." God, in His absolute holiness, brightness, He dwells in light, which no man can approach unto. The disrespect that is spoken. People talk about knowing God as if He's just one of the good old boys. Just, you know. I said before, me and Jesus have a good thing going. No, you don't. You worm. You maggot. You know, a believer loves to be told what they are. That's the most amazing thing to me. Unbeliever hears that and says, "Don't call me that." God's people say, "That's what I am. That's what He redeemed me from. My rebellion, maggot." Blessed, Matthew 5:8, are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart. I got to reading that and thinking on this. The pure in heart. Now, is there anyone here that would like to think on that and just say, now, you know, pure in heart? Boy, you say, I'll tell you this, in me there dwells, that is, in my flesh, there dwells no good thing. What does it mean to be pure in heart? Well, I'll tell you this, it doesn't mean to be sinless. I know that. Paul said in Romans 7:21, "I find then a law, a principle, that when I would do good, evil is present with me." If we say we have no sin, we make God a liar. So pure in heart, blessed are the pure in heart, they shall see God. What does it mean, pure in heart? The purity of heart as spoken here refers to the new heart, the new man. That new creation I was talking about that is imparted to those that believe, those that God has given a new heart to. New in heart, new heart, pure in heart. Now, He's born, all of us were born with a wicked, rebellious heart, evil heart. That's what He's talking about. There is in my flesh, that is in that nature of rebellion, there dwells no good thing. Well, I think I need to clean up my life. No, there is no cleaning up of your life. There's one thing that can be done with a rebellious heart: judgment. That's it. Yeah, well, I've learned some things and I've kind of reformed a little. No, you haven't. That which is flesh is flesh. Well, God's taught me some things and I've kind of improved on my old heart. No, you haven't. That old heart never changes. It does one thing. It hates God. Resists God. God looks on the heart. Man looks on the outside. And if there is only that heart as being born in Adam, that man is never going to see God in mercy. Well, he'll see God in judgment, but not in mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart. The pure in heart, they shall see God. Those that God has given a new heart. I put a new heart in you. I put a new spirit in you. Wherein dwells righteousness. I'll write my law on your heart. There's the pure in heart. That which God has created. Blessed are the pure in heart. Those that God's given a new nature. A new man. A new mind, Paul says, that I serve the Lord. We see Him now by faith through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Perfect. No night, no sin, no darkness. What is it to see God? It's to be brought near to Him by the blood of Christ, by the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. They shall see His face. The Lord Jesus Christ is the face of God. He is the revelation, the illumination. It's the face of God's Son, the Redeemer. The Word made flesh. The brightness of God's glory and the express image of His person. Who is the face of God? It's our Master. It's our Lord. Our Savior. The illumination of God's glory in the face of Jesus Christ. We'll see Him face to face. See His face. We shall see God in the glorious revelation of what He's purposed and what He's accomplished. I can start studying and I get a glimpse of what the Lord has revealed. I get a understanding by God's revelation. I see something just excites me. I think, you know, I never saw that before. There's a picture of Christ. I got to thinking on that when the Lord on the road to Emmaus, and it says, in beginning with Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. I thought, my, what a conversation that would have been to have just heard God's people when they see Christ in the Scriptures. It just inflames their heart. And they think, that's my Master right there. That's Him. That's my Redeemer. You that believe, enter into what I just said. You know what I'm talking about. You see that. You see it in part, I know, but you see it. And who shall see Him? Well, His servants. His servants that see Him, and they shall see His face. They shall behold Him. Isaiah 33:17 says, thine eyes shall see the King in His beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off. But what is it to see His face? I know it's the person of the Lord Jesus. I know who it is. But what is it to see His face? Hey, they shall see His face. What does that mean? David said in Psalm 41:12, as for me, Thou upholdest me in mine integrity and settest me before Thy face forever. What is it to see His face? First of all, it's to see or to behold or to perceive. They shall see. They shall understand. They shall perceive. They'll see, right? Just like when I said, well, this is the way it is. This is how you make orange. You know, you take some red, you take some yellow, and you put them two together. Look there. Made orange. Oh, I see. I perceive. You see it, but you understand it. They shall see. They shall perceive. It's to be told and to understand that you've been favored by God. To see His face is to perceive in that day God has set His affection on me. Well, we know that a little bit. We read in Ephesians 1:4 and we see that God has from the beginning chosen us that we should be holy and without blame. But oh, to see Him in that day and to see and to perceive His face in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to understand that we've been favored by God. If we perceive that now, we couldn't, not in this flesh, we couldn't contain it. We see it. As I said a while ago, we almost seem to get a hold on that. That we've been favored by God. Psalm 41:11, by this I know that Thou favorest me, David said, because mine enemy doth not triumph over me. What enemy is that, David? That means that sin and Satan and self, this world, doesn't triumph or have victory over. To see His face is to perceive that God has favored me in the person of His Son. Not in myself. I know that in me there dwells no good thing. I know that there's none good. No, not one. David said in Psalm 106:4, "Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that Thou bearest unto Thy people. Visit me with Your salvation. Lord, save me. Help me. Lord, show mercy." You know those that cry out for mercy? Those that God's shown mercy to. They cry out for mercy. Lord, don't leave me to myself. Those that cry out, "Don't leave me to myself," are those that God hadn't left to themselves. That's what it is. When you see a man or woman cry to the Lord, "Lord, save me," it's because God has. He's given a new heart. He's already created life there. Babies don't cry to become alive. They cry because they're alive. To see the face of God, we shall see His face, to behold that God's favored us in the person of Christ. Why did He favor us in the person of Christ? Because He chose to. Because He chose to. He did according to His will. He set His affection not because He looked and saw that we would, because He saw that there was none that was going to seek God. Secondly, is to have the blessing to draw near unto God as He has drawn near unto us. What is it to see His face? Isaiah 26:17 says, "Like as a woman with child that draweth near," that is, she's caused to approach the time of her delivery, "and is in pain, and crieth out in her pain, so have we been in Thy sight, O Lord." There's some folks in this congregation this morning that as a woman that is in pain with child, drawing near to the time of delivery, you see through a glass darkly, but you see the time draws near. And you see the pains and the struggle of this world. And I tell you, the closer you get, the more you desire and say, "Lord, receive me to Yourself. Help me." What is it to see His face? First of all, to be favored by God and to know it. Secondly, to have the blessing to draw near. "Lord, I want to be in Your presence. Not because of anything that I've done, but Lord, because You've revealed to me that You've shown me mercy and compassion. And You've put away my guilt. You've not imputed to me my iniquities. I know You haven't. You've taught me that. You've shown me that." That's to behold His face. Thirdly, to see His face is to behold salvation Himself. We speak of the Lord Jesus Christ. We speak of Him being made sin. I don't even know what sin is. Do you? You tell me what sin is. I can tell you something of the effects of it. I can see a little bit of the effects of it. But what is this body of sin, this body of rebellion, this animosity? What I don't even know how to describe it. But He was made it. He was made what I am. He was made what I am. As I said weeks ago, when we say He was made sin, with all the respect that I know, with all the honor that I know, He who hung on that cross, who was that? That's the Lamb of God. That's God's Lamb. Spotless, holy, undefiled, separate from sinners. And He was made sin. What was upon that cross? There was God's Lamb as sin. There was sin, our substitute, our blessed Savior. How else can I say that God dealt with my sin, what I am, and put it away, but to say that He who knew no sin was made what I am? that I might be made what He is in Him. Righteousness. The righteousness of God. Oh, I tell you, I can be as good as I can try to be, but I ain't going to get it. The righteousness of God. Now, you just stop mulling for a minute. That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. To see His face is to actually behold Him who is salvation. As I said before, we talk about salvation as if it's an event. It's not an event. Salvation's a person. Genesis 32:30 says, Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, where he had wrestled with, the Scripture says, the man. He called the place Peniel, that is to see God, for I've seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. You that believe, you've seen Him. You've seen His face. You've seen the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. By faith, you've seen Him. I know Jacob didn't see God in His unmeasurable glory, but he saw Him veiled. Saw Him. And he wrestled with Him. He saw Him in a slender way. That is, he saw the very mercy and salvation of the Lord, just as we do right now. I said, there's some folks here, I'm convinced, that see Him. I'm convinced they are. They see Him. They see Him. Boy, in that day, they're going to see His face. No sin, no veil, no hiding. They'll see Him. To see His face shall be eternal. Everlasting vision, everlasting nearness, everlasting honor. No change, no interruption, no cloud, no doubt, no sin, no distraction, no compromise. They'll see His face. We shall see righteousness. We know a little bit about that, but we don't. We're such poor creatures, aren't we? I mean, we're pitiful. And the religionist, I mean, just thinks himself something, just so proud of himself, just so what. And a believer walks through this world, and he just said, I've just come to a point, or I'm coming there. I ain't there yet. But I'm telling you, I'm just getting sicker and sicker. They shall see righteousness. We'll see grace. That's what it is to see His face. We'll see grace. We talk about grace now. But what do we know about grace? Very little. Know something, but we'll see grace. And we shall see His glory. That is His thinking. To understand then, understand. They shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads. The name, the character, what it means. The authority of God and His Lamb engraved in their foreheads. That means in their face. They shall see Him face to face. They'll see His face, and see their face, and then His character engraved in their face, in their foreheads. Why? Because they'll be like Him. I told someone before this service started, seemed like the more I studied for this message, and the more I tried to see, the more I realized I don't know anything. What do I know? I'm telling you everything I know. And I'm telling you, I don't know. I don't know. God's name. What did He reveal to Moses? That's what Moses says. Show me Your glory. Show me Your face. Show me Your thinking. Show me Your opinion. Boy, we're sitting here this morning. This is what we want to know. We want to know something about God's glory. That's what we want to know. Tell me something about what God has said He thinks. Lord, I want to know, what do you think? You know, when you respect someone, you want their opinion. I want to know. And the one that you have the greatest respect for, their opinion is greatly, greatly desired. I told you before, I wouldn't embarrass Brother Scott for anything. But there's times I don't know what to do. The greatest blessing for being a pastor is to be able to call him up. Say, Brother Scott, let me ask you something. What do you think about this? What's your opinion on this? And you know, his opinion just carries a tremendous amount of weight with me. Why? He's been there. Knows what it's like. You know, you don't know what it's like until you stand right here. Talk. My daughter, years ago, Sarah, some of you met her. She was young. She came up to the pulpit there in Franklin one day and stood there and looked out over that pulpit. She said, "It looks different from here." I said, "Yeah, it sure does. Yeah, it does. Lord, show me your opinion. I want to know, what do you think? And give me a heart to bow that. Teach me. Teach me." His name, his face, his character, his opinion, that's what I want to know. And Lord, whatever you say, cause me to bow to that. I want to bow to that. Along with this eternal inscription, there's going to be an eternal day. Verse 5 says there'll be no night there. They need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. I'll expound a little bit more on that last part. They'll reign forever and ever. Lord willing, next verse. But there's no night there. I can remember a time when I was going through a real tough, really, really tough time in my life. And I can remember I'd wake up middle of the night, maybe 1 through 3. I just wish daylight would get here. I just wish the sun would come up. You know, it's just a tough time. Some of you can understand that. You know, if the sun would just come up, it'd just be a little bit better. If I could just look out, I'm just tired of just laying here looking at the dark. In that day, there'd be no night, no struggles, no toil. There shall be the eternal day. Eternal blessing, no shadow, no change. The eternal reign. They shall reign forever and ever. From the mire of despair, He has elevated us in Himself to the greatest heights. In the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, here we are struggling. In that day, we'll reign with Him. God's people shall sit with Him. What's the fullness of that? I don't know. But I can tell you this. There is no greater blessing. No greater elevation. Where are you going to be elevated above the throne of God? From the bondage of sin to the liberty of being called the sons of God. Heirs of God. We've got some folks in here that's got some children, and your children will be your heirs and whatever you've got. But I'll tell you this, whatever you've got's going to burn up. It ain't going anywhere. Someone once said, man died, and he said, how much did he leave? All of it. Heirs of God. What does God have for His people? Everything. everything. Everything that endures. With this revelation, we're cheered, we're invigorated. Our title to this is found totally in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ shed for us. Put away our guilt. We'll reign with Him. He has redeemed us and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. In that day, God's people, they shall serve Him, worship, dwell, behold. They'll see His face. They'll see salvation Himself. See Him as He is and be like Him. They shall behold the glory of Almighty God. I'm telling you, God's people, as much as the Lord has revealed to them, have an anxious anticipation of what it shall be. And I am totally convinced in that day when God's people are called out of this world, Almighty God grants unto them just an extra measure of grace and mercy to give unto them that joyful anticipation to leave this world in an honorable way. God's people, I've not seen a lot, but I've seen some. I've seen some people, believers, leave this world with honor and dignity. And there's no greater blessing. I've seen it. I've watched it. I saw it. And there is no greater dignity than for a believer to walk out of this world and say with peace, comfort, I anxiously anticipate seeing Him face to face. That's grace, mercy. We'll see Him, see His face. We like Him. All right, Gary.